15th of November. The purpose of the day is to stock up on feminine hygiene and birth control products. Gentlemen, if you're in charge of this, you don't have a clue what to do, to ask the ladies. They'll be glad to let you know which items to get by them by the case. You save money. Buy twice as much as you think you may need. Great barter items at some future date. And, of course, properly stored in a cool, dry space that it'll keep basically forever. We have patient Wayne Green, my friend, Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest about 37 or so years ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the international commerce conspiracy. He's authored 6 books on this topic, available at Amazon.com. Just put Nyquist in the search box, Amazon search box. You'll come up with his books real quick. And his website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. He writes 1 or 2 excellent articles a week, and just check it out. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Good to have you with us, as always. We already have our first caller. We got John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mr. Nyquist. Did you get I sent you an email that had a couple of YouTubes about relationships, the relationship between the diplomatic situation between China and Vietnam. I don't think you answered it back. Do you have any comment about that?
You mean the current one?
Correct. And also there was something about the four no's of Vietnamese foreign policy.
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting, you know. Supposedly, Vietnam, communist Vietnam, is supposedly closer to Russia, has been closer to the Soviet Union, and there was, of course, when the Khmer Rouge took over Cambodia. Supposedly, they fell out with the, you know, Pol Pot was a friend of Mao Zedong, and they used to play billiards together. And, of course, there was the killing fields in Cambodia, and supposedly they fell out with the Cambodian. The Khmer Rouge were the Cambodian communists. They fell out with the Vietnamese. So you had, supposedly, this was part of the Sino-Soviet split. The Khmer Rouge and China were against Russia and North Vietnam. And, of course, there was this story that appeared for the first time, I think, publicly in H.R. Haldeman's memoir. He was the chief of staff of Nixon, who went to jail for Watergate. And his book was called The Ends of Power, and he claimed that the Soviet Union was going to launch a nuclear first strike on China and invade China. And Nixon put bombers in the air and threatened and made the Soviet Union back down. And then so you have... a few years later, 8-9 years later, you have this war, border war between Vietnam and China, that supposedly the more practiced Vietnamese army, North Vietnamese army, defeated the Chinese in this little border skirmish. And they've been supposedly at odds ever since, and people have talked in Australia or the U.S. of making Vietnam, communist Vietnam, our ally against China. But an expert on that I know, a military intelligence expert on Southeast Asia, told me that he knew for a fact that the Politburo of Vietnam is full of Chinese agents, and that China controls the Communist Party in Vietnam. So how does that sound?
Let's see. Did you see that email I sent you?
No, I get so many emails, and if I'm writing for a day or two, I may not. You know, I try to read all of them, but I may have missed one.
Okay, so
I don't really have time to read all the. I don't have time anyway to watch all the videos and websites I'm sent. You know, everybody who wants me to read something, that's maybe. That would take my whole day just to read everything everyone wants me to read or watch.
Okay, well, that's I understand, but
I mean, you heard what I said. These are the facts. We have contradictory reports from about the status between China and communist Vietnam. And I'm telling you, they are allies. Whatever you have heard, they're communists, they're working together. And I think you'll see evidence of that if you look closely enough at the region. Because Russia and China are allies. So either the Sino-Soviet split was exaggerated to us for their political purposes, or it was a fraud, as KGB defector Anatoly Galitsyn has claimed. And Galitsyn has been right. 93% or 94 now or 95% correct predictions in a book that he wrote in the mid-80s about what was going to happen in the communist bloc. He called all the major turns, and he said that it was the Sino-Soviet split was an operation, was a deception operation. If that's the case, then the split between Vietnam and China is also a deception. Although we can't know for sure. But this intelligence I have shows that if it's true that the leaders, the Communist Party of Vietnam is controlled by Chinese agents, the split can't be real, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is there seems to be some efforts that the Vietnamese communists are involved in subverting California, or involved in distributing texts around which are influence or trying to recruit people to.
Does this surprise you? You act like this is like news, right? They're communists.
No, it's
that's what communists do. Cuba's doing it. North Korea's doing it. Vietnam's doing it. You know, Russia's doing it. China's doing it. They're all doing this to us. Every communist country is trying to subvert the United States and present a false picture of reality to us, so we'll be against our own government and we'll be pro-socialist. And they'll depict our history in the way that they want us to see ourselves. It's communist propaganda, active measures, disinformation. It's normal. And it shouldn't be surprising that there's Vietnamese doing it, because Vietnam is a communist country. Of course, there are anti-communist Vietnamese in the Vietnamese diaspora that like the boat people. There's just like there's anti-communist Chinese and anti-communist people from Russia and the Soviet Union. And you can pretty much tell them apart, usually, although not always. Sometimes they've got agents in the diaspora.
Anybody
can pretend to be anything that they want.
All right, so they're probably involved with the drug dealing. Well, that's all I wanted to get your opinion on today. Well, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call, John. Jeff, before we get to our next caller, any updates on the war in Ukraine, sir?
Well, it's unclear. You know, I spoke to some people on Monday about it, some experts, and they had the same sense that I did, that it's unclear exactly what's happening, how much is being diverted to Israel from Ukraine, and what the status there. But there seems to be the feeling that Russia is building up for an offensive probably in the spring, although they could start it during the winter. And then we'll see what happens, although the Russian army doesn't seem very capable in its attacks right now.
What do you? Well, we talked about that before. You attribute the non-performance to their basic protocols for command and control, don't you, sir?
It's due to the fact that they're an authoritarian. They retain most of the Soviet military system, and that system, with the complexity of modern war, that system is inefficient, militarily inefficient. They can't deal with the complexity. And their command structure is that they tell everybody what the situation is, even though your subordinates usually know what the situation is better than their commander, because they're there on the ground. And so they don't listen to their subordinates. And that's just a feature of those kind of regimes.
Okay, our next caller is Melissa in Maryland. Good morning, Melissa.
Okay, hi there. You'll just have to tell me if I take you off topic or if you're not prepared to answer this or whatever. We can have a follow-up. You, I'm presuming, have heard of the Navy Federal Credit Union, yes?
The Navy Federal Credit Union?
Yes, uh-huh.
You mean the bank?
Well, it's a credit union, but yes, it's like probably the largest, you know, credit union in the U.S. But my question about it is, they allow all of the armed forces to join. And I just want to know why the armed forces are all, because wasn't always like that. You know, before there was a smaller group of eligibility, but now it's really anybody in the armed forces. And my unanswered question, and of course this is not on their website, is why is it that all of the armed forces get to be at the same credit union? Like why would you, what purpose is served by having everybody in the military at the same credit union, and they're basically being like one place where everybody in the military, banks, and you know that's where they hang out is Navy Federal. What if you think about it that way? What do you have to say about it?
Well, I don't know the history or the evolution of the institution. I mean, since the armed forces are all under the Pentagon, under the Defense Department, it's possibly just a streamlining that it's easier for the government to manage one bank that's useful to all the service branches for payments and stuff than it is to have four or five. Now we've got the Space Forces, right? And then there's the Coast Guard. So I don't know, all of them, the Coast Guard and the Air Force and the Army, can use the Navy Federal Credit Union, or they're encouraged to use it? Because I don't
really
know. Well, I mean,
you don't have to join, but all credit unions have eligibility. You can't just walk in there. You have to be eligible to join somehow. I mean, and there are eligibility things. Sometimes it's
you
location.
You don't have to be the Navy or the Marines. You don't have to be part of the Navy Department to be in it.
No. It's open to Army as well, and you know their families and et cetera. Mm-hmm. But like the DoD staff also, it's open to. But you know, because it wasn't always like that. And so my unanswered question is, why do we have all of the military and DoD staff at one financial institution?
Let me help you out here, guys. This is not part of the Navy. This is not part of the federal government. It's a standalone private organization. The members are the owners.
So you or I could bank there?
If we were eligible.
Anybody who's eligible can join, and I haven't looked into the details, but it's not part of the government.
What is required by eligibility? See, when I was in the military, and maybe John can relate to this, when I was in the military in the 1970s, we didn't use banks, or we didn't have pay cards or give paychecks. We stood in line, and we were paid in cash.
Well, how about that?
Ways.
Membership's
open
to
any.
Well, if you're retired, maybe you'd be eligible.
Membership includes the following: active duty of any member of the military, delayed entry program, officer candidate, reservist, veterans, retirees, and I don't know what this like. Annuitants. I'm not familiar with that word. So that's who can join.
So it sounds like the relatives of people in the service or veterans can also use it.
Yeah, household members also, yes. Uh-huh.
But this is not part of the government. It's a private organization.
Yeah. Yeah, you can set up a bank to cater to anybody you want. So it's just a bank, I guess, that specializes in helping
immediate
people.
Immediate family members
forces.
Include parents, grandparents, spouses, siblings, children, adult children, grandchildren, household members. So it's pretty wide open.
That's a huge number of people.
It's huge.
Okay, well, Melissa. I mean, okay, no, I wanted to know if there was something to it. I wanted to know, like, why the military were all at one financial institution, if there was something
well,
that
they're
not
all there.
Weren't
they're
being
not
told.
All there. They could be there, but they're not all there.
People have the choice to use that bank, but they could use any bank they want.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. If that's your response, then thank you. Keep up the good work.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Melissa. The call number is 512-248-8252. Jeff, I always keep two computers going during my show, one to do the show on Skype, the other to do research real quick, as I did just now, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a computer. I was looking at their website, but it doesn't say much except it lists the services and veterans as who they serve, but
right.
Yeah, I should. It makes sense, you know. The military doesn't run a bank, so.
No.
Your answer makes perfect sense.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on from there. Going back to Ukraine, the war in Ukraine has dropped off the face of the earth when it comes to reporting from mainstream media. In case you don't know, Jeff.
Yeah. No. I mean, when you watch Fox every night, it's all Israel, Gaza.
Right.
You know, Hamas, Hezbollah. You know. The thing is that this is the distorting nature of the media. The war in Ukraine is bigger. It's involved. It's killed hundreds of thousands of people, killed and wounded, as opposed to this terror in Israel, which is quite bad. Hamas is a gang of bandits. It's a terror organization. And as horrible as the killings and the monstrous atrocities they've committed, they don't represent the threat that an army with tanks and artillery and an air force behind it do. They can't put an end to Israel. And I understand that since this operation in Gaza has begun, the Israelis have collapsed or destroyed 150 tunnels already, and that they've made major inroads in killing a lot of the gang leaders of the different sections of Hamas. So Israel is really decimating Hamas right now, and they've got that headquarters and the hospital under siege. So Hamas is taking a horrific beating, and they must have thought this attack, this demonstration of terror, was worth the price that they're paying, because Hamas itself is paying a terrible price for this, and. You know, but the media gives the impression that Israel's, you know, survival's at stake and it needs all this help from the U.S. Actually, Israel has the perfectly suited to deal with this. They have the wherewithal. But there is this, there's almost like there's this need in the media to divert attention from a much bigger, more important strategic war. And people will say, oh, no, that's wrong. That's not. But no, it's true. The war in Ukraine involves our security more than what happens in Israel.
All right, here's our break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, down there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on a frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Simply Clean Foods has a special going. They've never done this before. It's really great. You get the grand assortment, which is more than 2,000 servings of freeze-dried, non-GMO, mostly organic food. And you also get an energy cleaner included at no extra charge. That's a $285 value. And if you want to take advantage of that, this is the time to be doing that. If you do take advantage of it, you also get your choice of my mattress pads for 25% off. And, of course, the energy cleaner itself as a standalone product is great. If you've got arthritis pain, sleep issues, check out the energy cleaner. Or you're doubting Thomas, no sweat, GI, because I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's for me to you personally on the energy cleaner at thelibertyman.com. Building with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Books for sale at Amazon. Jeff, before we get to our next caller, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's a PayPal button below every article or video.
Outstanding. Simple and easy to do. And I encourage you to read Jeff's books. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a true education. Our next caller looks like Pat in Oregon. Good morning, Pat.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, how you doing? Jeff, I've been really enjoying your interview with Alex Benish, and it's kind of disassembling so much of what I have grown up believing. I've been a longtime listener of Alex Jones, and I was a member of the John Birch Society back in the 1980s, but I left because I felt the group was full of a bunch of Christians that wanted to take over the government, and what they call the Dominion Theology folks that wanted to take over government. But I was always kind of hopeful that Russia was really changing, because I grew up playing ice hockey, and I saw the Soviet Olympic team play in San Diego in 1973 and again in 1974. And, you know, I grew up as under the Red Scare, believing the commies were after us. But I have to say they were very admirable ice hockey players. I had an opportunity in 1994 to travel to Ukraine. As a, it was a short-term sports outreach mission, a goodwill mission, and I was in Kiev, Kharkov, and Donetsk. And those are the cities, of course, that have been involved in this the war starting in 2014 and then in February of 2022. So it's been heartbreaking for me to see what's gone on in the cities. I have pen pals and friends from Donetsk, and so I was hopeful in my heart that Russia was reforming and you know, that we could get along with them, but I, you know, you give me a real education. And while I was in the John Birch Society, I do remember hearing about the book by Anatoly Golitsyn, New Lies for Old. I believe I have a copy of it. I read the book, and it definitely makes a lot of sense to me. I also heard, I heard Stanislav Lunev in the 1990s, 1998. He was on tour with the Prophecy Club. So
I helped to arrange that.
Yeah, I remember your name back then.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, I helped to arrange that. Yeah.
Stan was
very brave to come out and speak before people, when, especially when he was on a hit list to be eliminated. You know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, Alex Jones, you know, I've been a longtime listener of him. I think he's for real who he says he is, but you may be right. There may be some brain damage from too many fights.
Yeah, that's been mentioned by his biographers. John Ronson wrote an interesting book called Them, Adventures with Extremists, which Ronson is a good journalist because he always tries to be sympathetic to everyone he writes about, even people who are, you know, way out from the mainstream. And so if you want to kind of get a picture of the young Alex Jones, that's a good place to read about it. But there's a problem with conspiracy thinking in that, you know, you can start to have confirmation bias. And so you always have to keep reading and trying to understand that things are, there's a tremendous complexity to political events in history. Mm-hmm. And the thing about conspiracy theory is it's usually a reductionism that stops asking questions and starts to create answers around a very simple narrative that they just sort of becomes a rubber stamp for explaining everything. And so we have to, that's a problem that's happened among conservatives, is that many have adopted this stance towards events. And the thing is that this is an easy way to miss what your enemy's really up to, because it is more complex.
Yeah, that's well said. You know, I see everything in the context of the greater spiritual war, that the chief weapon of our enemy is a lie. And I hear the break coming up.
You want to hold on to the break?
Chief weapon of our enemy is the...
Hold on to the break, Ken. We'll get past the cat. Hold on to the break, Ken. We're there.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Home is where the hearth is. In days gone by, the hearth was the center of the home, a social place where the family would come together to spend time and cook. The warmth of the Liberator rocket stove makes a house feel like a home. So, welcome home. 100% American made, the Liberator rocket stove heats for a fraction of the cost of other methods. Your home can be safely heated with firewood or wood pellets. The Liberator rocket heater is waiting to be part of your home. This unit ships directly to your door, or you can save $300 with a factory pickup. To order, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com.
Heard my brief advertisement for Liberator rocket heaters. You can save $300 with a factory pickup at Bourbon, Missouri. Right now, the Black Friday sale is in effect on the Liberator rocket heaters, the pellet hoppers that go with them, 20% off. Between the two, there's a substantial savings. Even without the factory pickup, it's still a substantial savings. Check out the Liberator rocket heater at my website. You want to stay warm and cozy and save money. This is the way to do it. You get your choice of burning wood pellets are regular firewood. A wood-burning stove, listen carefully, it has no smoke. Check it out at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. Books for sale at Amazon. And Pat Norgan, you got a follow-up question or comment, please?
Yeah, thank you guys again. I just wanted to say that the chief weapon of our enemy is the lie, and our weapon is the truth, that the Bible calls the sword of truth. And I want to thank you guys for helping me to come to understand the truth, because that's what I'm all about. I want to just know, what is the truth out there? We can dismantle the lies of our enemies. So thank you again, Jeff and John. Appreciate your show. I'm a regular listener for over a year now. You guys have a great day.
Well, thank you, Pat. I would make a comment that the man who is considered by many political science professors to be sort of the founder of modern political science is Machiavelli, Niccolo Machiavelli, an Italian Renaissance diplomat who wrote very famously a book called The Prince. And in the most infamous chapter in The Prince, he talks about telling the truth. And he says, well, in politics, people who achieve great things, they do it by lying. And he actually, he says, well, it would be good to tell the truth all the time, but really, if you're ambitious, if you want to come into power in a state, if you want to hold power in a state, you really want to not tell the truth. Because, and he makes the following excuse. He says, in a world where everyone is so evil, if you tell the truth, you'll be destroyed. So, you need to lie at least to survive. So that's quite cynical. And in fact, Machiavelli came under attack. The book, by the way, was not published in his lifetime. I think it was published 5 years after his death, if I'm remembering right. I think he wrote it around 1513, and I think it was published in 1530 something. But you know, this is, you know, obviously it made his name synonymous with the devil. You know, Nicholas, Old Nick. You'd hear people refer to the devil that way. But Frederick the Great, Frederick II of Prussia, wrote a book against Machiavelli. I think it was called The Anti-Machiavel, and it's been quite controversial. He's been very controversial ever since. But in political science, there's this realist school, and there was James Burnham, the writer, former Trotskyist, but a writer for National Review and conservative anti-communist, wrote a book called The Machiavellians, Defenders of Freedom, in which he argued that political realism is important. So we have to try to talk. And he argued that Machiavelli was just telling the truth about politics, which, of course, one has to be careful, because not to make the truth about politics an excuse to become, you know, just like everybody else. So,
okay, great call, Pat. We appreciate it. Our next caller is Mike in Kentucky. Morning, Mike.
Well, yeah, good sunny morning here anyway. There's a couple things over the years. You know, confirmation bias works in apparently a lot of fields of science, and I wouldn't imagine that political science is immune to that. I ran across, there's a couple articles, I think one in New England Journal of Medicine and one in Lancet, whatever you think of them. I think they're way to the left, but talking about five major factors that puts most of science in the category of just wrong. And I'm just a preface to what I'm about to say. Lynn Horowitz has been on here a bunch, and he had a clip of a video that was censored from a Boston PBS documentary called The Health Century. And in that, it's revealed that the Soviet Union for probably a decade was allowing Western medical science to experiment on their population with vaccines. Now, if they were our arch enemy, knowing the potential for biological weapons across vast populations using vaccines, why would they do that while we're being propagandized about the bomber gap and the missile gap? It certainly looks like the Russians were the best enemy money could buy.
Where are you getting this information from? What do you mean they allowed us to experiment on their people with vaccines?
It was a guy at the head of the Merck vaccine department who was being interviewed, and the documentary is called In Lies We Trust. And apparently,
and when was this documentary made?
About 2003, and it's a part of it's based on, like I said, this Boston documentary. They censored part of this guy's interview, and his name was
Interview, and where was
I'm trying to answer the question. Boston, yeah. WGBH, PBS, Dr. Maurice Hillerman, and he was part of the development of vaccines, including the smallpox and polio vaccines. And he and his team discovered there were undetected viruses in the seed stock even before he was working there. And they eliminated those eventually, I think, through special ceramic filters. But all of those vaccines were being experimented on in the Russian populations. But all that is kind of academic when you consider, you know, that even he just drops these bombs in that interview that the yellow fever vaccine had the leukemia virus in it. And, I mean, Dr. Lynn Horowitz put it in his documentary called In Lies We Trust, and backs up some of what he's saying with other materials. But this, you know, he even has an interview with the Salk Foundation guy, I'm trying to remember the doctor's name that was instrumental in that vaccine, and saying that the idea that polio was solved was hype, and it was too over the top, that they celebrated a victory when there wasn't one, because of these vaccines. But that's the core of the curious thing there is that why would they allow? And there's books about it. There's one book that was used in the Roe versus Wade decision called The Biological Time Bomb, where it talks about all these biological factors for biological warfare. And that was in 1966 when that book was written. So the Soviets had to have known that there was a huge potential for biological weapons, and yet they're allowing their population to be experimented on.
Well, I think that's... Look, this information, people can interpret things. This is an interpretation. When you say they allowed their people to be experimented on, you have to remember that when we were developing smallpox vaccine, so were the Soviets developing methods for example, smallpox. For example, the Soviets developed a method for freeze-drying smallpox vaccine that we used. And so there was, just as there was exchanges during the Cold War in sports and science, there were exchanges in this area of medical science and through the World Health Organization and so on, so that we would trade, we would swap when each side saw an advantage in swapping. And of course, both sides were suspicious and careful about what they swapped Each side didn't want the other side to use a biological weapon on them. But there has been cautious different areas of collaboration as well as conflict. The relationship between the Soviet Union and the West has been complex. And during World War II, we were allies. So it's...
sort of.
We were allies. We were fighting Germany, and we were allied, and we were helping them massively. And they were fighting the German army, our enemy. They also fought the Japanese at the very end of the war. So this is a complex thing. So you could say, well, if they're our enemy, how come we were allied with them in World War II? See, these questions, though, they have detailed, complex answers, which are not that it's all a farce. We're not really their enemy.
What you just said is kind of ironic, because Hillerman makes this joke, or the jokes he said was going around the lab when they discovered these, like the SV40 virus, and they were associated with tumors in the lab rats, that the jokes were going around that they would win the Olympics because the Russians would all be loaded down with tumors. They were joking about it.
The thing is, this is the thing about vaccines. Vaccines, it's been known for a long time, and I'm sure the Russians and our side, we all know this. Vaccines are inherently dangerous. And one of the reasons is they were using monkey tissue. Yep. And they were using mouse tissue to make vaccines. And what they discovered in the midst of doing it, because they use it to make the vaccine, is that the mice and monkeys and other animals have viruses in their tissue to begin with. And
right.
So when you are making the vaccine with these viruses end up in them, not everybody gets the virus because it's not in every sample, but you had, for example, this monkey virus that got in, and that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. writes about, that his uncle, President Kennedy, saw the data that there was, one of the researchers says, look, there's this monkey virus in here, and we know it causes cancer. And he stopped this huge batch of polio vaccine from being given to American children, although they stored it. And after Kennedy was gone, they gave it to children anyway. And so you have all these cancers down the line, which it took, I think 20 years for the cancers to develop in most of the people that got the shots.
I went to high school with a kid that got the leukemia from, and their dad was deployed where he had to take the yellow fever shot. So that particularly hit home with me.
Yeah, vaccines. I mean, look, the best way, this is one of the things, this is also bad, the safest vaccine is going to be made from a fetal tissue, right? So they get that from aborting babies. So because viruses, I didn't know this till I researched
it. I don't accept a statement like that anymore, because if you go read those articles about the five major factors that perhaps makes half of published science just flat wrong, like small studies, poorly designed studies.
You don't accept that
the safest vaccines are made from aborted fetuses?
I'm saying in terms of viruses getting into the vaccines, fetal tissue is safer because I didn't understand this when I first studied it, but all animals have viruses in them that they need for their growth when they're younger.
And there's stuff that we can't, viruses, they carry stuff.
Excuse me, I'm trying to explain this. Viruses in each animal has its own unique viruses that help it, for example, during the growth stage of the animal. And if these viruses get into another animal, which they can mainly only get there usually by injecting another animal with them, they can do great harm because they go haywire. You know, they do their thing inside the body of a different host. They're not designed to be in a monkey virus is not designed to be in a human being. And of course, you know, it's like when a virus can jump from a pig to a human or from a bat to a human, but we can
said the word designed. I think that's a biased word too, but just the chicken and bats and other
designed,
animals.
I'm saying that if we have a creator, right?
Sure.
That everything in our body, look, there's, you have, if you haven't had too many antibiotics, you've got about 5 or 6 pounds of friendly bacteria in your gut. And a lot of that was given to you by your mother through the birth process. And that gut bacteria allows you to make vitamin B, for example. It allows your body to do all kinds of things. It's friendly. So just as we have friendly bacteria, we have friendly viruses. And so the problem is when those viruses cross species into other animals. So I'm just giving you some basic science on that. Look, science has a lot of corruption in it because scientists can fake their results, their lab results. And this became so serious in the 80s, there was discussions in Congress about creating an Office of Scientific Integrity. The problem was, if they created such an office, they realized that the corruption would center around that office, that office would be the first thing to be corrupted then everybody who wanted to cheat would have to get control of that office.
Bats, right? And chickens and other their hosts.
And
a lot
that's
of
not a problem
that,
of science. It's a problem of government money corrupting science because, oh, gee, if we can fool these government bureaucrats, we can make all this money.
Their thermophilic platform, though, is the animals have a much higher body temperature than we can sustain in order to kill off things like that. So if you're using chicken eggs to incubate your flu vaccine, there's a lot of debris that rides along with that, and that is not going to be beneficial to your immune system to bypass your saliva and everything and inject it straight into your body. The whole concept of the vaccine, I think, is flawed.
Well, no, vaccines have look, if you were bitten by a rabid dog, I'm sure you would take the vaccine for hydrophobia.
Maybe I would. I wonder how well saturating your body with colloidal silver would work. They don't like that because it's too cheap.
If you thought you might be infected with tetanus, you would need to get a tetanus shot within 24 hours. And there are even anti-vaxxers who believe in that you should still get the tetanus vaccine. So you understand, vaccines do work.
Confirmation bias again, though.
In many cases, they work. Look at smallpox was eradicated by vaccines. And smallpox was
I'm not so sure about that. You look at the statistics for sanitary sewers, and as the sanitary sewers were rolled out into the cities and population centers, and people stopped throwing their chamber pots out into the street, all diseases precipitated the same rate as supposedly the vaccines precipitated a vaccine. The
look,
disease
we weren't
rate.
Throwing our sewage in the streets in this country in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, but polio was a serious problem then.
Okay, one of us is not going to convince the other. I think we need to move on here. Mike, we thank you for your call. Our next caller is Thomas in Germany. Good morning, Thomas. Go ahead, Thomas. Hello, Thomas. Thomas in Germany.
Is he connected?
Maybe he dropped. I don't know. Let's go on to Kyle in Montana. Good morning, Kyle.
Yeah, good morning, Jeff. I think it's interesting that you mentioned the about the lying and how that, you know, Machiavellians talk on that stuff. Over the years, I was working with a guy who was from Mexico, and then I have worked with been around a guy that was a missionary in China, and there is a Russian population of believers here around in Northwest Montana, and I got to know them as well. And all three of them said almost exactly the same thing to me at different times. They had said that if you tell the truth in their culture, you are considered weak, especially
you're considered a fool. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was really interesting because it seems like the only culture, I don't know of another culture other than possibly, you know, England, but where there's a Christian influence, that where telling the truth is considered an honorable thing. I find that very odd.
Yeah. Yeah, well, societies that are politically dysfunctional have this feature that people believe lying, you know, is okay and necessary. It basically disintegrates your society in many ways. It creates distrust. You know, the Soviet slogan, "We pretend to work and they pretend to pay us." It isn't the case that if you have a police state that you can control everybody. See, because people have ways of getting back at you. The subordinate can give you a false report. He can manipulate you. He can make a fool out of you in return, just as the authorities lie to the people and give them propaganda. So when a society becomes dysfunctional in this way, this is one of the reasons why Russia is having trouble in this war. And Ukraine is doing better because Ukraine has taken a step towards a more idealistic approach as their people have become hopeful that there is a way to having a society where people are good to each other and tell each other the truth. And of course, this is what a lot of foreigners admire. People from Russia and Mexico may think we Americans are fools and people from other societies, but a lot of people admire us because your society, they'll say, your society works, you know, your country works. People actually will do things honestly, right?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. You know, on a bright note there, you know, Biden and Xi Jinping have just agreed to do away with all the fossil fuels. Doesn't that just make you happy all day?
Well, of course, it's a lie. They're not doing away with fossil fuels. They're burning coal like crazy. And in China,
they build one new coal plant a week.
Right. Yeah, they'll say that. They'll say that, though. They're lying.
Yeah, it was on the news feed just this morning that popped up on one of the news feeds that I watch, and it said that they had Xi Jinping and Biden had signed a thing to be able to reduce all fossil fuels. Anything that burns, by the way, they are now labeling as a fossil fuel. Wood, gas, anything that burns, plutonium even. Get a load of that one, but it's true. They're trying to label everything as a fossil type fuel that burns.
Well, the whole narrative, I think, originated with the Soviet Union and the communists, and it's an attempt to sabotage the West by sabotaging our energy sector. I think that's pretty clear to me that this is basically economic warfare, and people buy into it. And they're perfectly willing to cut off their own nose despite their face.
Absolutely. Yep. Carl, we didn't want to thank you for your call. Yep. Our last caller is Thomas in Germany. Almost out of time here, Thomas.
Greetings. Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to remark one thing in relation to you talking to Mike Adams recently, Mr. Moore, and you, Mr. Nyquist, you spoke to him last year around the leaked Guangdong recording. So I wanted to draw attention to Mr. Adams' conversation with basically, I think, a Russian spy 19 days ago called Andrei Martyanov. And he basically supported his active measures publicly. To me, it was a shock when I heard the Russian writer living in Washington State talking about how Europe will end up as part of the Eurasian landmass in the current conflict, and Mike Adams did not really pick up on it, what it meant. He fanboyed the guy about Russian weapon technology and the Russian education system. So to you both, how can it be that Mr. Adams did swing from anti-communist a year ago to communist fanboy now? Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Mike understands, and it's very complex. Russia pretends not to be part of the communist bloc. It pretends to have changed. Putin even, you know, he'll go to Sochi and talk before the World Festival of Youth and Students, the biggest communist youth organization in the world, and say, I'm with you. You're the future. We believe in you. And then he'll go to Valdai Hills and make statements like he's some kind of Christian, that he's sympathetic with the Western civilization. So they talk out of both sides of their mouth. And if people don't understand the lies they tell and the way that they, you know, the games that they play, you can end up falling for it.
I know Mike Adams pretty well. I was on his show just a few days ago, and I don't speak on behalf of Mike Adams. I don't know what Mike understands, what he doesn't understand. I'll let Mike speak for himself.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. I haven't followed him lately. But, you know, I think there's a big problem in that conspiracy narrative. You'll find many of them are everything but communism. Communism isn't the conspiracy. And when people can get into these conspiracy narratives, that can lead them away from actually seeing clearly that it's the communist movement is the real problem that we face.
Jeff, we are out of time. Thomas, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, Jeff, thank you very much. See you next Wednesday.
Thank you.
That's it for the day. Get your medical supplies, your energy cleaner, essential oils. Now, while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever get your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, the large, beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in, the even larger, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.